And so we conclude on this fourth Sunday our journey for Advent, this journey to Christmas. It'll actually conclude tonight at our Christmas Eve service, but today we're on the journey toward peace, the journey of peace. And so it really is an amazing season that the Lord gives us. The term Advent itself, I told you a few weeks ago, but just in case you missed that or have forgotten your Latin lesson, it simply means coming. It's about our preparation for his coming. Of course, he has come the first time, but the Bible speaks about his second coming. And so we as believers in Jesus are often thinking toward the blessed hope, as it's described in one of Paul's letters to an early church, of the return of Christ. And so we know that he came the first time, that the coming of Christ is a powerful revelation of who God is, taking this very flesh upon himself. This flesh that you and I have has to die. And I am so overwhelmed by a God who would not just say, I'll pay for it from here, but says, there's no other way except for me to enter in to the very flesh you have and to take that to the cross and pay the price for the real sins that you have. I love the Chronicles of Narnia, and in the last battle, C.S. Lewis is painted a picture of this second coming, as it were, in the children's story, the Chronicles of Narnia. But in that, there's a stable, and there's things going on, and people are worried that there are bad things going on in this stable in the picture. And what ends up happening is when they actually get thrown into the stable, they find that there's this great expansive land, green, the sun is shining, there's a feast that is set before him. And Lewis made this quote in the book, once in our world a stable had something in it that was bigger than our whole world. That's what Christmas is about. He came in such a profound, humble way to a world that was not even in large part still even looking for him. Years ago when I was in youth ministry, we have a Holocaust museum in Detroit, Michigan, and I took my students there because I wanted them to be exposed to things. Schindler's List had come out, and I was taking them to see the film and ponder the hard realities of the Holocaust. And so I said, well, let's go meet some of these people and see some of these things. And the man there had a tattoo on his arm, a real evidence of the things that he had been through in a concentration camp. And when we were all finished, he said, you know, if any of you have any questions, and he said, and it doesn't have to be about the Holocaust. Well, my students weren't particularly bold to be asking this guy. We're from a farm town of 10,000, so being in Detroit was a big deal to us. And so everyone was silent. So I thought, well, he said I could ask anything. So I said, are you still waiting for a Messiah? He said, it's just a thought now, kind of like a golden age. We're just kind of hoping things will get better. And I just felt so sad. I talked to my students when we debriefed about the whole event, that he had given up on something great. And something that, of course, had happened, but this same Messiah is going to return. So we've been on this journey of hope and love and joy and peace, and the Star of Bethlehem has been our guide as we've journeyed. The Star of Bethlehem is only mentioned briefly in Matthew's account of the Christmas story, and it drew the wise seekers from afar who saw the signs in the heavens, had obviously heard the prophecies than what we call the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, and they were watching for the signs of this star that would appear and announce the birth of the King of the Jews. And so they went knowing that he was no ordinary king, but as it says in the account, they came and worshiped him. Because they understood by the revelation that even King Nebuchadnezzar finally came to terms with that this is no ordinary God. He's not just one God among all the idols that we have in the world. This is the true and living God. And so that's what these men had heard about, and this is what they had been watching for. And so they made their journey. It was probably maybe some rough places that they encountered, maybe some not so rough, maybe smooth roads. There were roads in the time of Rome. They used to have a saying that all roads lead to Rome. They were so prolific in their interstate system, kind of like we have. And maybe there were some easy passages that were walkable, but maybe there were some that were difficult and maybe even seemed impassable. And so it remained before them, undoubtedly. They encountered friends and fellow travelers, and they probably also sat in the company of deceptive and powerful people, like King Herod. The Bible tells us that they actually went to Jerusalem. If they were going to go look for a king, where would they go? To the capital city. And so they went, and they were looking for the one who had been born the king of the Jews, and they had this interaction with King Herod. And through all the circumstances and surprises of their journey, the star was their guide. Now, honestly, I'm just giving you facsimiles of what it might have looked like, because we really don't know. What was the sign? There's lots of speculation, and some of it promising and helpful. Again, the point not being that we look to the heavens and try to figure everything out, but that those are signs of things here on the earth that are real and accessible to all of us. The star never faltered or failed for them. It was a months-long journey, and it pointed them to Jesus. And in their search, we know that they found him. And so together, let's look to that same light today on our journey toward peace. Now, when I think of peace, I'm often reminded there's a well-known hymn. It's called It Is Well With My Soul, and it's written by this fellow here, Horatio Spafford. Some of you may have heard these, maybe at a funeral, or maybe you even grew up hearing this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, is well with my soul. Now, he wrote these words not because life was so easy and things were going wonderfully. It wasn't a rosy day in which these words came to him. In fact, the true story, his wife, he's a businessman from Chicago, and his wife, after a season of business, they had traveled in 1873 toward London. And with her, they had already lost one child. With her were four of their girls on there, Annie, Maggie, Bessie, and Tanetta. And unfortunately, on the trip, the ship sank. And she sent this telegram, which they've preserved, alone have survived. Don't know what to do. And he then took a ship and followed. And he asked the captain, when we roughly get near the place that the ship went down, where my girls have drifted into the depths of the sea, would you call me up? And the story is, he's there, and this is when the words came to him. When sorrows like sea billows roll, you've taught me to say, it's well with my soul. Now, the loss was still profound. It didn't wipe it away. It didn't make it easy. It didn't make it a happy moment. He wasn't just putting a smiling face on this. It was in the midst of real heartache, a deep, authentic peace, he says, came to him. And then this song that has ministered to many others in very similar places ministered to him. And then he recorded that and shared it with us. Well, what pain are you facing in this season? What struggles are weighing you down? What anxiety and stress are stirring up chaos in your spirit? Maybe those pressures and problems are external. Maybe they're internal battles. Either way, they can feel just as real. So the question is, are you with me willing to open up your heart to the presence of God? Even in the midst of those struggles, are you willing to allow God to help you with the eyes of your heart, with the eyes of faith, to see him, to experience his peace in the midst of difficult times. And so this is the journey that we're concluding with as we move toward Christmas. It's appropriate in our world today, just as in the ancient Roman world, the Christmas story itself is surrounded by trouble, and it's not really a kid-friendly story when it comes down to it, for we all know that, as in our world today, there were troubles in those times. They were occupied by the Roman Empire, and they were being led by a man who wasn't in the line of David, King Herod. And just like we're experiencing in our day, the kind of real deep anguish and bitterness of soul, we're one who is invited to come and to trust in the Prince of Peace. In a world that's full of warfare and uncertainty, the pressures of our daily lives barrage us with an unparalleled pace, and the world's desperate for peace. The good news today is that the Prince of Peace has walked this world and understood. He has come, he is present, and he is available to us today. Excuse me. So, let's look at this offer of peace. First of all, the place that there is peace in the midst of chaos. How do you picture the night that Jesus was born? Do you ever think about it? Do you ever, I don't know, ponder? Maybe a movie has informed you a little bit, or a book. When I was a kid, on our Christmas tree, my mom and dad had these little plastic nativity scenes, and it kind of came up to the top, and there was a little plastic star with a tail on it. And, you know, I'd heard the song about the star with the tail as big as a kite. So I thought it was true, of course. But I used to sit by and just look at it and think, these are real people. This is a real story. What was it like? Did it look like this? Warm and cozy and, you know, kind of pristine. I appreciate the songs. I don't know that Jesus didn't cry. I think he probably did. I'm thinking that he, just like every baby, had a bowel movement pretty soon after that. Probably needed cleaned up. I'm guessing the animals were not, you know, recently groomed. It was probably a difficult time. And so as we think about this, let's just say this. Jesus was born in an animal shelter. The city of Bethlehem was overflowing with hordes of people. This may be a better picture from the early part of last century of people making pilgrimage. They had arrived over many dusty miles on rough and dangerous roads by foot and riding livestock. Visitors started arriving to visit the new baby within hours of his unsanitized birth. I mean, that's just the reality of it. It was a stable with all the stuff that's in a stable, right? My last name is Schmutz, and it's because my family were dairy farmers. So if you get Schmutz on you, you understand what that's about. So this is where Jesus was born. Jesus was born in a real stable. He was born with someone who was in angry pursuit. Someone who found out that a king had been born, and he decided, I don't know where he is, we'll just kill all the kids. So just think about the things that are surrounding this whole event, and not just the quiet, silent night where all the animals were all, you know, ready and quiet, not lowing. The cattle were lowing, but the baby doesn't cry. I don't know about that. It does tell us that there was a great company of angels rejoicing. I've often wondered, did only the shepherds hear that? I mean, it must have been incredibly loud. Maybe they were given the special, you know, blessing to hear it themselves. I know at times where Jesus was present as an adult, at times the Father would speak from heaven and people around him would say, that thundered. So maybe it's like that. I don't know. But it says that these angels were rejoicing and worshiping in a band. It's no wonder the angel begins by telling them, this great company of hosts, don't be afraid. And they gave the message, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So there was noise. I loved this picture I found of a very exhausted woman who has given birth, and they must have sat there stunned and thought, is this it? This is him. The angels visited. There must have been hurt and pain and struggle in their own lives as they too experienced what people experience all the time, have throughout the ages. On that first Christmas, they too were in a hard time. And yet there was great joy and deep peace that had come upon them. Our journey of peace this season is not separated from the realities of life, but is a journey of peace in the midst of life with all of its noise and chaos. There's a recording artist named Andrew Peterson. He's written a song called "The Rain Keeps Falling." Beautifully illustrates the state of peace within the storms of life. The lyrics contain a long and honest confession of so many struggles, interjected and woven into the words that Jesus spoke, peace, be still. And the result of the song is a powerful picture of the reality of peace in the midst of life in a fallen world. A message might make you catch your breath or choke you up as those words wash over you. Sometimes we all just need to pause when we hear about tragedy. Sometimes we need to realize that our lives are far from peaceful. And the eternal peace that is promised at Christ's second coming is not yet realized. We still, all of us, live in places of profound loss. We pray many prayers and they not only don't seem to be answered, the situations get worse. And so it's hard to live in the meantimes and to hope for peace, but that is the message of Christmas. Maybe hear it this way. Peace. Be still. Know that I am God. Jesus brings peace right into the center of our hurt, our frantic striving, and he brings the power to cease the noise, calm the storm, and overwhelm our hearts with his restorative sense of perfect peace in the midst of chaos. Secondly, he is the Prince of Peace. The prophet Isaiah's words in chapter 9, verse 6, remind us in a time where it talked about a thick darkness that was upon the people and that a light was shining, describes him as the one who is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let me just remind you today, peace is not just a feeling or a state of being. Peace is a person. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Throughout his life and teaching, we see that this peace comes from the person of Jesus, and then the gift of his Holy Spirit is given to us as he has ascended again to heaven and is with us now. He's present with us as we receive him by faith, and we can slow down. And instead of just turning up the volume of the world around us, we can slow down and receive his very real peace. A peace that he said passes understanding, that gift of his presence with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. By sending his son, God sent his peace into the world. And when we abide with him, we abide with peace himself. When we abide with peace, we learn to trust God with the unpeaceful parts of our lives, and we find ourselves transformed from within. We need to know that as Mary did, we can ponder up all these things. We can store them up in our hearts and know that he's going to help us sort them out. Mary's life hadn't become more peaceful, if anything, with the announcement that you're going to carry the Son of God and everyone's going to think what? You have been sleeping around. And that was punishable by death in her day. They would pull out a woman like that and they would stone her to death. And so it was a difficult thing, and yet she was learning something that God is holding out to all of us, that in the midst of these things, we can find rest in him. We can learn to trust as she did. You know, the Bible tells us that she was probably in the range of 14 to 16 years of age. Can you imagine? What an amazing thing. This man, probably much older than her, but too, a righteous man, it tells us. And when he heard the news that she was pregnant, he wasn't going to put her to public disgrace, but instead was going to divorce her quietly. Being betrothed, being engaged, was as legally binding as being married. But an angel visited him too, and of course you know the story that we're celebrating today. And so they, in the midst of what was a difficult time, real people like you and me, they found peace. They found the one who is the Prince of Peace. They surrendered. They found their rest in him. And so in the same ways, we can be those who are allowing God to reveal who he is to us. We can encounter the peace of Christ by taking these words to heart. Be still and know, I am God. So I just want to encourage you in these days to pause. I would encourage you at the start of your day, because if you're like me, everything you put off till later never happens. Amen? And so it's good. It tells us in Mark 1:35 that Jesus, every morning, while it was still dark, would get up, go to lonely places, and commune with the Father. There's another place. Some of you may have wondered about this before. He said, I don't say things I don't hear the Father saying. I don't do things I don't see him doing. Where did he hear and see those things? It was in prayer. And so it's in that place where we pause and we maybe start our day reading scripture and we allow God to speak to us. You converse to him so that you can line yourself as you enter into the day. You might be pausing during your work day to just ponder who God is, to think about what he has done and what he is doing. It might even be in the midst of the marketplace, maybe shopping, and you decided to stop for a cup of coffee. And there's no reason. And of course, you don't have to lug a book around with you now. You can just use your smartphone. You can just pull up the Word of God and take a few minutes and think about who he is. Jesus told us if we abide in him and he abides in us, we'd bear a lot of good fruit in our lives that would last, even in the midst of chaos. So let's repeat the message again. Maybe repeat this to yourself. Peace. Be still. It's a place in the Bible where King David was overwhelmed with the situation that he was in. And he said, I have spoken to my soul. I speak to my heart. So you don't have to do this out loud so you don't feel embarrassed around other people, but the Bible's pretty clear. You can speak to your own heart. Peace. Be still. You can receive the one who is the Prince of Peace, that he is here and he is able to wash us with his word. That's the picture in Ephesians chapter 5 where he talked about how husbands ought to be good to their wives, and he talks about washing them with the word, and he says that's how Christ washes the church. And so as the church, as his bride, I sometimes ask him, just wash me with your word. Wash some of this stuff out and just carry it away, because it's just too much for me. Finally then, there is this place of peace for the world. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, and we can abide in him and experience peace in our souls. We know it doesn't always come to the world around us. As we look around our world and we see the daily news, we realize how desperate our world is for peace. Countries are at war. The refugee crisis is not lessening. Our neighbors are hurting. There's violence in our schools. Just because you haven't heard one for a few weeks, don't stop praying. Pray for the Prince of Peace to abide over our campuses. And of course, there's anger in our own families. violence of a different kind that marks us maybe in a deeper way. We continue to live in the place of tension between the past, the present, and the future, and the place of broken world is still churning and reeling until God completes his restoration. This is not the end of the story. What happened 2,000 years ago was not the finish, but it was the start of the end times. But he is so patient, wanting everyone to come to repentance. I mean, for goodness sake, for us to even exist. I was born in 1962, so I'm glad. And so in the meantime, though, that means there is still brokenness. There is still trouble. He continues to fill us with peace through his Holy Spirit, and it won't come in fullness until he returns and he brings us into the fullness of his kingdom, until he comes again. And this is the place where peace that we can have tastes of now will shine and be the brightest. It doesn't always make sense against the surrounding circumstances, but there is, as the Bible says, a peace that passes understanding. It's found in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. And just to put it in context, it wasn't about people at war. It wasn't about failing health. It wasn't about the loss of a job and tough financial times. It was about two women that were arguing. And he said, in the midst of that, you should come to me. Don't be anxious, he said, about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. It doesn't make sense, he said. It transcends understanding. It's a place where you're surrendering to God, and you're allowing him to guard your heart and your mind, that place of your emotions, that place where you're making decisions and willfully are going to go one way or the other, willfully going to speak or not speak, willfully going to do or not do. Maybe this is the paradox of prayer. I'll let you look at that from a few angles. So often we come to God asking him to change our circumstances, or especially to change people around us, you know. If everyone was like me, we'd be doing just fine. Sometimes he does, but more often he changes our hearts and perspectives. Sometimes we're the ones that he's molding. As we pour out our hearts and connect with him, we're able to see a little more like he does. We're able to trust more confidently in his ability to handle things, no matter what. To settle in the peace of his goodness and faithfulness, to tap into the sense that it's all going to be okay no matter what, one way or the other, because he's holding us. Jesus himself, as he's headed to the cross, as he's headed to the crushing place of Gethsemane, told his followers, it's going to be okay. Well, here's how he said it. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. He told his disciples, I don't give you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. He goes on to say, in this world, lots of trouble. But he said, take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Now he's saying that because he's going to continue down a path of difficulty. But as it tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, it's because of the joy that was set before him. Allow God to help you see past the present issue. Not to skirt around it or dodge it, but just so you can move through. You can move through by faith and know that God is going to help you. He's going to give you all the grace that you need. His words aren't empty. They are rooted in a deep reality. There were harsh conditions that faced Jesus the time he was born, and then, of course, the very hostility that took him to the cross. The crucifixion, where he had spent his whole life with people out to kill him. And he says there's much suffering, there's much trouble for his followers. And then he tells us, don't be afraid. Why? Because he knows the end of the story. The end of the story is resurrection. The end of the story is life forevermore. The end of the story is the peace that will overcome everything. There is a light in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so you hold on to that hope. You hold on to the peace that you know will come in fullness and will sustain us now through our difficulties, which at times may be great, but in light of eternity are only momentary. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast," or the old King James said, "stayed on you." I just love that. I think there was one of the former Beatles had a song about, "Got my mind stayed on you." And then he talks about money, but I don't think money's going to help you in this case. It's going to be this place of faith. That's the currency of heaven. It's that place where you can learn to trust God and you can allow him to speak over you those words. Peace. Be still. Let those words wash over you as you repeat them to yourself. The Prince of Peace has come. He is coming again. And he will give you peace. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that in the midst of chaos and pain, you invite us into your peace. Help us to abide with the Prince of Peace and to rest in the peace that comes from trusting in you. Give us the courage to trust you with our lives and with the situations we see in the world around us. Fill us with your peace. Let it continually restore us and draw us to yourself. Let us bring your presence, your peace, into the often chaotic world in which we live. Through Jesus, I pray. Amen.